Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Oh. All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dr. Homebrew. We are back. We're hanging out. We got a bunch of beers to drink. We're sipping on right now, some form or another, South Lake Brewing Company. I have a pale ale. Bill, who works the showroom in Moorbeer, was kind enough to give us a little taster pack. Cooper has the Hazy IPA. Oops, hold on. I muted you. Good.
It's pretty fresh. It's called Fog Nozzle.
Fog
Nozzle. And, it's a Hazy IPA.
Yeah. Char, did you open yours or no?
You know, I had the pale ale last night, and
okay.
I thought it was exemplary. It was really tasty. It was a pale ale and not an IPA.
Yes.
Totally, no off flavors, no nothing wrong. It was the type of beer I could drink all day long and be real happy about it.
Yeah, I'm drinking it right now. For me, it's a little dry and a little bit too bitter. But as far as like a West Coast pale ale, It's hard to beat that because it's very refreshing, and
yes.
Some pales aren't that because, like you said, they're sort of leaning more IPA.
Or they're too malty and not attenuated enough, or there's in that, and I like that dry aspect of it that you were not so in love with.
Yeah, I'm not a giant fan because then it just sort of drinks like a low ABV. IPA. I mean, it's 5.4.
Too crisp. Yeah.
It's a little too crisp. I want a little bit of crystal malt in there. But I'm a Sierra Nevada guy, so whatever.
Yeah.
But look, don't get me wrong. I do like it, especially cold out of the fridge. Happy with it. So cheers to Bill and South Lake Tahoe people.
Yep.
South Lake Brewing Company. Excuse me. Anyway, before we get to Ben, who was on the show after the great Schlenkerla interview, which we can't stop talking about, apparently. I want to thank I'm having a hard time today. I want to thank our show sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com right now and learn about everything they got going on over there. Things that'll blow your mind. And I still remember where I was when I learned that PBW was now in liquid form. And I almost bought some at the homebrew shop. Like, I almost bought it. But like, no, I don't know. I think it's cool, but I sort of like when you're old, you know, Cooper and Char, you guys know this. Ben and I don't know this yet, but when you're an old man, and you're sort of like in your pattern of like part of the way that I prepare my cleaning chemicals is I put them in the bucket, put the hot water in, and I stir it up and I see the things disappear. And like, that's how I know. And you hear your spoon scrape the granules on the side of, and you just like, I don't know. There's like some things about the brew day. So I don't know. I opted not to do it, but maybe I'll pick some up in the future. But anyway, all that kind of stuff. Check it out. Fivestarchemicals.com. Join their homebrew club program over there too. Cost nothing. And it might even end up saving you a couple bucks. So check them out. Five stars. Great. Yeah. We love them. Thank you very much.
I'm on their site too. And, they've got it to separate it out from by categories. You can, look at stuff for breweries, stuff for distilleries. They've got PBW tablets now as well. And maybe they've had that for a while, but
tablets seem like a cool thing, man.
Yeah. I saw those.
I saw those at Moorbeer too. I forgot about those.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Ben, welcome back, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Good to see you again, man.
Yeah. Glad to be back.
So we have a blonde ale from you.
Sure.
All right. Let's do it. Is this something you've done before?
In various iterations, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
All right. That's cool, man. I like a good blonde ale. I feel like you don't really see those very often. They were very, I think, big in the early aughts and, whatever. But they sort of went away, and then 805 came, and then I think most people like I can't. How am I gonna build? How am I gonna make something that can compete with that?
Yeah,
you know, I do think there is that where it's just like it's just the perfect fucking blonde ale. So I'm not gonna do it commercially or whatever. I'm gonna stick with my pastry stout, shove marshmallows up my ass while I brew it, and then it'll be great. I don't know. Anyway, all right, and so some various iterations. You've done this before, so let's bust into this. Char, why don't you lead off the judging with this concept, please?
I sure will. So first, Ben, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I have to ask my usual question. Are you in a homebrew club?
No, still not in a homebrew club.
Okay, that's fine. I haven't
joined one since the last time, even despite the arm twisting.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you do you, man. Maybe you're a club of one, and that's all right.
Yeah.
Keep asking me. I'll get there eventually.
Yeah, if you live near Ben, why don't you just join his club of one?
His address is, yeah.
The next time someone says that, says, lone wolf, just say, antisocial, huh? Well, exactly. He's talking to us.
What we're going to start doing is we're going to start putting all you lone wolves on the Dr. Homebrew watch list. And it's not like what you think. You can still do whatever, but the red flags will be if you haven't joined a club within a year, you're going to get a visit from us.
It'll be the wolf hunt section of our website, where a club finds this person and harasses them to no end until they finally join.
That's right. We're like Scientology that way. Yeah.
Welcome to our club.
We need to start getting your body yeasts off of you, and you need to connect you to a machine, and it's only going to cost you $1 million for us to make you go homebrew clear. Yes. So that's all right. You'll love it. So thank you for sharing this beer. I jumped the gun on judging this like before the last show, and I drank the only bottle I have. So I'm going to give you my score sheet that I made like, I don't know, a month or two ago. So sorry about that. But I do remember drinking this beer, having reviewed this. Bottle inspection, it's appropriate. Had a low hiss on opening, which made me wonder a little bit if maybe it was a little undercarbonated potentially. Aroma. Medium-low base malt and a low hop aroma, a berry fruity character, and a low bready aroma, no esters or off aromas. I gave that 7 out of 12. Yeah, there was an awful lot going on in the aroma for a blonde ale, which is not without character, but it is one of the lighter aroma and flavor beers that you can make. Yeah, appearance was hazy. Color was a medium tan, light brown, much darker than expected for style. Head was white, medium in size, with long retention. So gave the appearance 1 out of 3. Flavor initially was medium low in malt, more bready than base malt. You know, that's not inappropriate. And actually, I kind of liked, I distinctively remember that bready character, which I did like. Slightly sweet, like a fresh a fresh baguette character to it. You know, if you've ever had a real fresh baguette, and just the crust is great, and then that bread inside is just phenomenal. A little bit sweet, a little bit like Pilsner malt. It was really tasty. Hop bitterness came up to medium level to balance in mid palate. Very low hop flavor that was sort of fruity berry character. Less in the flavor than there was in the aroma. Finish is long and balanced toward malt. Flavor overall, I thought was a bit muddled. I gave it 13 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, medium body, low carbonation, less than expected for the style. And that low hiss on opening kind of, unfortunately, kind of bore that out as being a low carbonation. No warming. Creamy, no astringency, gave that 4 out of 5. So overall impression, I gave it a 7 for a total of 32. This is an easy drinking beer that it lacks, you know, obvious off flavors, but it also lacks the brightness present in the best examples of this style. I did wonder if maybe there was some bottle variation in this. You never know. Maybe somehow, packaging, I don't know if you keg or if this was bottle conditioned. getting carbonation right in something that you're moving from a keg to a bottle is devilishly difficult, even with a beer gun, counter pressure, whatever you're using, it can be really tough. The fact that it was kind of hazy and the flavor was muddled made me think something either went wrong in fermentation or maybe something happened in this particular bottle. I would make the usual suggestions about sanitation. Make sure you clean with PBW and then sanitize with Star Sand, whether it's your fermenter or your bottles or whatever is going to touch a cool wort. And I also wanted to suggest, and I made a note to make sure to use a sort of a neutral yeast like WLP001 that's suitable for the style. I must have had, and again, I apologize, it's been a month or two since I've judged this. I clearly had something that made me think it might have been a different, might have been a yeast issue with the selection of yeast. But overall, you know, it was not entirely to style, but it wasn't something that I wanted to, you know, throw in the sink immediately. It was tasty to drink, and I appreciate you sharing.
Like,
and
thanks so much. That's the level of compliment. Like, look, I didn't want to kill myself after drinking it. So I think that's a positive.
I didn't want to throw the glass at my foot and break my toe.
Yeah, I did you abuse know, my dog I... after it, though. So go ahead, Cooper.
All right. I'm drinking the blunt, the 18A blonde ale. I did judge it June 11th, and here we are, end of July, so a month and a half ago. And it's I can tell the difference. I wanted to judge this fresh because we were doing your other beer. We got that and judged it, and then I'm like, let's judge this blonde ale. So I told him, and then we both judged it and didn't really discuss it a whole lot, but we got it while it was fresher, so that was good. And I think that was the right time to do it, because it's a little different now. But in the nose, I got a medium, clean, light, bready malt up front, clean ale fermentation. I'm not getting any off aromas, light esters, low floral, faintly spicy hop at a pretty nice level. It's letting the malt win and just kind of there. No DMS or diacetyl. It's, you know, it's kind of what you expect in a blonde. It's not super challenging to anyone's senses. I scored it fairly well on aroma. It was inviting, and it just told me, hey, yeah, this is a blonde ale. And it was a summer morning. We were getting ready to judge, beer hits you a little different when you judge that first beer in the morning on a competition, and it's, you know, 9, 10 a.m. you're drinking beer. It's just a different thing, because it's like something like a blonde ale could come across as a little more than what it is after you've been drinking, you know, rum barrel aged brown ales for an hour or two. Anyway, back to the beer. Yellow, kind of a lightish yellow color. Clarity was a bit impaired by some moderate haze. It's got a little bit of haze in there still on this sample. The head is medium low, fluffy white foam stand. That stuck around pretty well. I gave it 2 out of 3 for appearance. In the flavor, I felt the beer was pleasant and soft overall. Malt is lightly sweet at a medium level. It's bready. It's the beer is not cloying at all. I hate it when they get too sweet. They've got to finish, you know, moderately dry, not bone dry, but just enough to leave a taste of sweetness with that malt and the, you know, lets the bready malt shine there with everything else that's here. The bitterness is low. The beer is cleanly fermented ale. Again, the finish is, like I said, kind of semi dry, just enough sweetness to let it, you know, play right. The hops come out at the end with a light floral note lingering into the aftertaste with that malt. But yeah, the malt wins here too. And retasting it now, I think I'm getting a little bit of a honey-like aspect. Could be a little bit of oxidation creeping in, and maybe the flavors are a little more muddled than when I first tasted it. But I remember what it tasted like, and it was morning, and I was just happy to have a beer. But it's very clean and very flavorful for a blonde ale. Medium light body towards medium, no alcohol warmth. But it does have a light prickle from the carbonation. And I felt the carbonation was fine. It's like a medium it's you know, and the head's still sticking around even after yapping and drinking it here. There's a little, there's enough of a prickle in there. It's not like gushing or way over the top, but you could go a little higher on the carbonation. It wouldn't hurt it, but I didn't think it was low necessarily. The beer is somewhat creamy, smooth. It just, you know, hits most of the marks there. Again, for a blonde, it's what you see is what you get. It's a light malt oriented beer without too much in the way of hops and a little sweetness and just a, you know, like those old homebrew pub specialties. You would get the blonde ale, they'd have the pale ale, they'd have the
before IPA. Beer names were like
sometimes
a thing.
You were lucky if they had an IPA and then yeah, yeah. A porter and a stout,
yeah,
and no sours, nothing that, you know, once in a while there'd be a
that was before you had to like the, you had to like out weird the next brewery in the town over with their names where it's like things were just a style and that was it.
Yeah, it was just, you know, Blondale.
There Blondale, no Blondale. Oh, what's what's McTarnahan's Revenge? Oh, that's a Blondale. Yeah. Why? Why is it called that? I don't know. Well, it's because skateboarding razor blade was taken.
Right.
Skateboarding so, razor know, blade sounds like a pretty rad name for a beer.
You can
the
use
beer
it.
Is it's you could do with an even lighter body, I think, to be a bit more thirst quenching is the one thing I would say about it. But it's pretty nice as it is. I landed at I'm going to land at a 37 on this, and I'm a little higher than Brian, but I feel like it's kind of where it needs to be. And there's not a lot wrong with it at all. It's aging now. And so as judged as it is, it probably be more towards the mid 30s or somewhere in there. But yeah, I think get it a little more crisp and it's probably going to push up towards 40 for me. Maybe even a little more hop with it wouldn't hurt, but it's just kind of clean and smooth and drinkable. I'd like to hear what JP has to say about it too, because, and just keep in mind that it's aged a bit too, and I judged it a month and a half ago.
I think it tastes like 37. Shit. I think it tastes like garbage.
Complete garbage.
Yeah, and now I'm going to end my own life because I drank it. No, yeah, I agree with what you said, Cooper. It definitely could use a little more carbonation. I mean, the head on that's pretty good. But it sort of feels like it loses it in the body a little bit.
Yeah, that was Char's comment more.
Char, okay. Yeah. Well, you guys are the same person, basically. So I think it needs that. But I also, I do get a little sort of raisiny, you know, quality to it, which could be just the age. And so we'll just say that's what that is. I like the flavors overall. I don't think there's anything wrong with the beer. There's no fermentation off flavors or whatever. I do think, and maybe it's the raisiny, I'm not saying DMS, but like sweet, like all other sweetness kind of happening. I want it a little drier, a little more crisp, a little more bright. To me, this is almost like, I don't know, English pale levels of sweet. If you guys can back me up on that, I don't know if I'm going out on a limb with that.
It's a little fuller bodied, fuller sweetness blonde ale.
Yeah.
Like you would get in the old days in one of those places, you know, microbrewery.
It's like Ben's head of hair. It's very full, and I want it to be like mine, which is wispy and lame. not awesome at all.
Yeah, it's definitely I think the aging is sweetened it up quite a bit.
It could be oxidation or whatever. I think, you know, you can definitely with beers like this, you can see what it used to be. And I think that's a good testament. Like, you know, we talk about packaging and how you have to have good packaging and that makes the beer shine and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's the goal, right? It's to like see how long you can get out of the beer style. But I think that there's something to be said about beers that can sort of still shine through all of that and you can still pick it out. So I'm pretty confident I can tell what this beer was tasting like before, you know, if it was drank in a reasonable time. I like it. I think it's good. I want a little more zhuzh, a little more brightness at the end there to clean it up. But yeah, I think it's great. I think it's really good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, 36. With that, I had to score it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the high end of very good category. Generally within the style parameters, some minor flaws. If you look at the scoring guide on every score sheet that's out there,
I think that fits. You know. I think that I'm happy with that score. Ben, what's the recipe, man? Let's do that.
What is the recipe? All right. And this kind of goes towards the muddled comments. So the recipe was 6 pounds of Turo, 6 pounds of Pilsner. So kind of split half and half there. And then 8 ounces of Munich 1, 8 ounces of Munich 2. And then we've got a 1/2 ounce of Magnum for bittering at 60 minutes. And then an ounce each of Sterling and Saphir, basically at flame out. And then 001 for the yeast. And that's it.
Well, when I told you to use 001, and don't I have egg on my face now?
I was curious though, Char. The comment you mentioned, it seemed fruity, I think. What would your guess be as to where that's coming from? Like, is that a yeast thing or?
Sorry, I just have my mic boom just come off for no reason. That's just let me just hold on to it for a while here while we
issues, yeah. I want you to work through this, Brian.
Technical difficulties. Please stand by. You know, Ben, I'm sorry. I judged this a while back, and I don't have the
it
in front of me.
Yeah.
Looking at my score sheet, I'm wondering if somehow mine had gotten shaken up and had not settled down. I don't remember exactly when I had got, you know, how long before the show had gotten that from, you know, Cooper JP or something. And it's entirely possible that was this bottle conditioned or was this bottled off a keg?
It was bottled off a keg.
Okay.
It was too.
Doesn't mean you can't get yeast in there. And I don't know. It's that could have happened. It's possible that it's just, you know, whenever you bottle, things can go wrong.
I think it just
could have been something left in there, some wild yeast. Although usually if there's wild yeast, you're going to have, it's going to be overcarbonated and you're going to have some off flavors.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, carbon, you know, you can have bottle to bottle variation. And I suspect that's what happened here for me.
I mean, I'm smelling it. I'm the only one who has any. So you stir it up. It might just be a fruity ester from fermentation.
I have some.
You have some. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. It does have a fair amount of haze, and it's been in my fridge. I left it in there since, you know, and I just took it out. It's, you know, maybe been moved around a little bit in the door of the fridge, but it's not, it's still pretty hazy. I think it just has a permanent chill haze, you know, some hop polyphenols combining with some proteins from your malt and just staying in there. But you can clear that up. There's ways to do that. But what do you think about the Munich 1 and 2 combo there, guys? It's, you know, I mean, I think you've added something to keep the malt interesting, but
yeah, probably not necessary. It was just something I was trying. Yeah.
Usually it's always good to experiment, but I don't, especially for a beer that's not like a real big beer. Yeah. I'm not sure you're really getting a lot out of that.
Right. Either lighten it up or just do the blend of the Pils and Turo and leave it at that, you know.
Yeah.
It was Pils and Turo, right?
Pils and Turo and
half and half. That's great.
Yeah.
That would make a nice blonde ale.
I think you're good, man. Yeah. I think you're good.
But it didn't add too much color, you know. It's just a little.
Mine's looking pretty golden now. I don't know if. I don't. To me, it's going towards amber, but that's probably a little bit of age too. It definitely is darker.
Yeah. As you get the oxidation coming in, it gets a little grayish. I want to call it.
Yeah, gray. Yeah. I when I was pouring the glass, like, oh, that kind of looks grayish. I'm like, maybe you have aliens on the brain. I don't know.
The bright yellow that you want. So, yeah.
But I was kind of, you know, I was interested to see how it aged too, because I don't have a beer gun or a counter pressure filler. It's just a wand. So it's definitely oxidizing, you know, with time. So,
well, you can still purge bottles, and I bottle with a wand for competitions and for club comps. So just make sure you do it as quick before the judging as possible. But you know, I just have a stopper in my wand, and I just do kind of a pretend counter pressure, you know, and just let it fill up until it kind of stops filling, and then kind of push on the stopper until it lets a little more in and it starts coming up without foaming up like mad. And it's kind of an art form, you know.
Absolutely
fun to do that. I've never had a beer gun either. I don't know that I need or want one.
Yeah, I've got enough. I spent enough money on equipment.
Yeah.
Okay, where are we with the things here, Cooper? What do we need from Ben?
Well, we need him to send us more beer.
More beer. Yeah, I mean, obviously,
I do have a barley wine that's aging for you guys. It'll be ready.
Okay,
when it's ready, it'll be sent.
Nice.
We're challenging everyone to brew Mexican lagers with our recipe.
Yes. And if you want a Mexican lager, I can do that as well.
Hey, man, if you want a Mexican lager, that's yeah. their gift to you.
Who doesn't want Mexican lager?
Oh, dude, it's so good. Such a good style.
Different yeast than we did.
Yeah. Oh, don't look now, but you have a Pikachu behind you. Is that a Pikachu? Panda bear?
Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. A bear of some sort.
Anything else, Ben? You need something? Any questions you have for us?
No, we're good, I think.
All right. Good
I
job,
think
man.
You nailed it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks,
yeah.
guys.
And
thanks for sharing, man.
We'll see you.
All right.
All right, brother. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk. What are we going to talk about? My beer.
We're doing your, yeah. Primo.
And then I thought it'd be fun to drink Hop Splash. Talking about that, the Sierra Nevada version of basically hoppy refresher from Lagunitas, which is interesting because they carded me for this, and I'm like, why are you? I'm happy. Yeah, I mean, happy to do the thing, but like, why?
Did she's they
like,
do well, that? Was it Safeway?
It was Rayleigh's. Said it was zero alcohol, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's water. It's literally water. She goes, she's looking at it. She's oh. Like, yeah, she goes, I don't know. I scanned it and they asked me to do the thing. I'm like,
they do that to me at Safeway too for like the hoppy refresher. I'm like, really? It says zero alcohol.
That's what I said.
There's no alcohol right here in this.
Yeah. The big word is zero right there.
I mean, I can understand with the Heineken 00 when I buy that. You
know, yes. Yeah, sure.
That's fine. But
all right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, everyone. Hang on. It's Dr. Homebrew. What's up, homebrewers? Hey, let me ask you a question. You spend a lot of time making your beer taste the way you want it to, right? Some of you even send beers in to Dr. Homebrew for feedback. Well, the next logical step in your creativity is to craft some labels for those beers. And there's nobody better at creative labels than GrogTag. Their easy-to-use designs let you turn out some pretty amazing stuff like labels, bottle caps, coasters, even six-pack carriers with minimal effort on your part. They have a range of label sizes that fit any vessel you can think of. Bottles, cans, growlers, kegs. GrogTag has you covered. Head over to GrogTag.com today and check out their line of amazing, fully customizable templates and get your beer looking its best. GrogTags are water resistant, reusable, and will have your naked bottles looking great in no time. That's GrogTag.com and be sure to use code BNARMY at checkout to save 10% on your order. Thanks for hanging on, buddy. We are back, and we are judging a beer that I brewed. Once again, I am producing content for this show. So I called this a cream ale. And then I posted the recipe online, and someone said, that's not a cream ale. And I said, fuck you. So that's sort of why I wanted to talk about this, because I don't know that it's a cream ale. I don't know. So I'm entering it as a cream ale, judges. And Shar, if you would mind starting us off with the judging here on this, please.
Okay, that's lovely. JP, are you in a homebrew club?
No, I think people in homebrew clubs are losers, and I don't want anything to do with
them. You are in the Brewing Network.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. If I entered competitions, I would say Brewing Network.
Oh, man, if I start brewing again, now that I'm living in Concord, I'd probably be a Doge member.
Yeah, you could do that,
That'll
too.
We have this whole Words of Wisdom to Doge pipeline from people that move out to the East Bay. They just join Doge. It's kind of funny. But not relevant to this. So cream ale, bottle inspection, NA. You gave this to me in a small growler. A little tiny cute one. It was nice.
Yeah.
Aroma, low malt aroma, low corn aroma. No hop aroma, which is okay for style. I've had that one before. That's a good one. Back when Dave had all that hair. Let's see. No off aromas. No esters. Thought it was inviting and well done. It tasted like the grain without being grainy, if that makes sense. or tasted like the malt. Let me put it that way. It tasted like malt, but in a good way. Okay. So I again gave that 10 out of 12. Appearance, 3 out of 3. Crystal clear, exceptionally so. I'm going to hold this up. This is like so, you know, if it wasn't for like, you know, optical effects and lenses and whatever, you could see my face through this thing. It's just very, very clear. I'm going to make a guess that you use some of that Viking extra pale. We'll find out later on. Head is low, white, and moderately persistent. Extremely pale straw color. Again, 3 out of 3. Flavor, initially flavor is low malt, crisp with low, low hop bitterness coming up to balance mid palate. Low corn also kind of comes up to balance mid palate. Not to balance, it comes up to like a low level mid palate. I can't pick out flavor hops, but again, that's technically your flavor hops should be present at a low level, but I know you're such a hop head too, Jason. So
that's true.
I'm shocked not to find like prominent flavor hops, you know, just poking out through this. It's well attenuated. The finish is long and balanced and very pleasant. As it warms up, there is some low pumpkin skin / acetaldehyde as it gets warmer.
You're fired. How dare you?
Yeah, damn it. Well, it's been a good run, you guys. Yeah. I'll tell you how that Mexican lager turned out. looking at the score sheet or at the guidelines, what's interesting is that DMS is often acceptable at low levels in certain very light lagers, but acetaldehyde never is. So that's interesting. Okay. Something I just was thinking about. So I still give this 14 out of 20 because that pumpkin skin to me is low and it didn't come out. I changed my score a little bit when it warmed up by a couple of points. Nothing really that big of a deal.
Okay.
Mouthfeel. Body is low, as it should be. Carbonation is low, probably from the growler fill presentation. Again, we always talk about how packaging and carbonation go so hand in hand here, and it's not always super easy to deal with. You were kind enough to give me a small growler of this. So I'll, 1 point for carbonation, but that's clearly, you know, what happens.
I'm all right.
Not a big deal. No warming. It is creamy. It's cream ale. It's creamy. No astringency. 4 out of 5. Overall impression, I gave you a 9 for a total of 40 out of 50. Yeah, that is an excellent score. There isn't much to do to this beer. There isn't much to this beer, and that's the point. I mean, to me, it's refreshing. It's light. It's tasty. I'm going to drink the rest of that growler, man. I'm not going to I've judged this. I'm not going to drink it all tonight, although I could and not be smashed at bedtime. I'm going to finish that off. It's real good.
You should.
The only off flavor was a little that acetaldehyde as it warmed up. Sometimes with a light beer like this, whether it's a cream ale or a light lager or whatever, there can be something that just kind of turns unpleasant in the finish. And I'm never quite sure what that is, but it could be commercial or homebrew. But if something can just kind of, oh, it's good. And then it finish that finish arrives like, oh, that's not good.
I think it's I think it's part of the reason why these beers don't travel well.
Yeah.
Like light lagers like this in general. I don't think it's just because, oh, they're light and they show flaws or whatever. I think it's a yeast combined with the adjunct thing or something like that. I agree with you. Like, you know, you can get relatively fresh like Modelo. And sometimes it just tastes like fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
And I think that's more, and just personally, as a matter of personal taste, I think that happens more with a rice adjunct than a corn adjunct. But I don't know. It's one of those things I've been brewing for 30 years. I've been judging for 20 years. I still don't fully understand like what that is in the finish in some of these very light lagers. You know, I really like this beer. I think proper carbonation and getting rid of that acetaldehyde issue will easily take this up to like a 45.
Nice. That feels good, man. Yeah. At home, it's more carbonated for sure. Thanks,
I'm
man.
Sure it is.
All right, Coop, top that. Motherfucker.
Okay.
Mono a mono for our Dr. Homebrew jobs right here.
Yeah. It's not a lager, though you just referred to it as a lager, Brian. It's an ale.
Yeah.
In the name.
Sorry. Well, I know, but I'm thinking about very light beers, and it could be a lager. It
light,
could be an
yeah, there's a lot of light lagers that are this is the it's yeah, the I ale said, version of Budweiser.
I said right? Modelo.
I was doing a little bit of a shorthand, so, you know, I'm sorry about that.
No, yeah, I don't know that you were referring to this as a lager, but I just wanted to straighten it, make sure everybody knows. Yeah, it's you don't really lager these. You don't brew it. Well, you could brew it with lager yeast, but you would brew it at ale temperatures. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, cute growler. This mine says wavy brown locks.
And that's right.
It has a nice.
Those are made with grog tags.
One of your old grog tag labels.
That has been on there for, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years.
Don't be shy. Let the nose be your guide.
Yeah. Wavy. All right, tell me about my beer. It.
There was 4 fingers of headspace on the tiny growler. I wasn't even kidding. It was like way down.
Yeah, that's all I could do. I did it on foam. Yeah. It's the problem with that growler is that it goes from it side to neck. So the one I gave Char is a little bit forgiving in the neck, so he got more. So.
Do you use a stopper or is it just like
no? I literally just turn the carbonation down on the tank and just open the tap and just I purge it with CO2.
Yeah,
you know, I just stick my finger in there, whatever, and then for about a minute. And then I just open the tap, pour it in. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not getting oxidation problems or anything. So in the nose, it has a fairly strong grainy malt note up front, a bit sharp, and it's not very sweet seeming. I think I was the one that talked Brian into the pumpkin skin. I was getting something in there that's like just a little sharpness. And when I get a really light pumpkin skin, it does that to me. It's a sharpness that's kind of undefined or a little, it can go towards pumpkin skin. Like I was questioning it. If whatever it is, it's only a slight distraction. The esters are pretty low and out of the way. It's not a super fruity beer in any sense of the word, but it's got a little whiff of sulfur, I'd say, no diacetyl, but yeah, fairly clean. I'm struggling to find much in the way of corn here. It's not heavy corn. It's just mostly malt, grainy malt. Appearance wise, it's a clear yellow beer with a fine white head of bubbles, but moderately poor retention. There's a wisp of foam that remains as a cover and a collar type bubbles left behind. It just kind of dies. That's fine. Dropped to the point there. Whatever. I liked the flavor. The flavor was pleasantly malty, grainy and light, but not watery. It's at a really good level for this kind of a beer. It's light, but it's not lacking flavor and depth. I even felt like that alcohol was a tiny bit noticeable here, but it's not like super alcoholic or anything. It's just something there, very light. There's a noticeable kind of minerally quality to the water that's accenting the medium low bitterness, but it's not harsh. It was also, you know, the first beer I had tonight, and now it's tasting a little less like that. That bite is a little less noticeable. There's a low herbal floral hop character in there. And it's just pretty dry, clean fermentation, you know, low ale, kind of low ester ale fermentation character. I'm struggling to get much corn. There's maybe a little bit in the aftertaste. I'm not fully convinced it's there. Mouthfeel wise, it's light and somewhat crisp. Sometimes corn can just lighten the body and it just goes away, you know, and you don't get that much of the actual corn flavor. Mouthfeel-wise, light and somewhat crisp, which is enjoyable. It's refreshing, medium-low carbonation, no warmth. It's not very creamy or smooth. There was just something a little bit biting in it that, like, I thought it was like maybe a faint astringency, but the bitterness or just first beer syndrome. The first beer you judge is always a little rougher, but it wasn't too distracting at all. So it's okay. Pretty good overall. Just a pretty good lawnmower beer. In some ways, maybe not quite as smooth and refreshing as I hoped for this beer. It's got a lot of body to it, and you need to lighten it up. You need to lighten up that body a little bit more. The finish needs to be drier, and use more adjunct if there is adjunct use, which there should be in this beer. Definitely needs more CO2, which will help a lot too. Could dial back the minerals just a little bit, the sulfates especially. Needs to just be smoothed out a touch more here. Okay. Be an even better example of the style. I don't know. As I'm tasting it, it's I kind of came up a tiny bit from where I was, but I'm giving it a 35.
35.
I came up 1 point.
And you came up from a 30. Oh, my goodness.
I know, right? Now I'm fired, too.
Oh, my God. Char is my favorite broadcaster.
I don't think there's enough corn Woo-hoo! Flavor in here. And I don't, if you did, how much corn was in there, I don't know. But if it's not 20%, get up to 20%.
Okay. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
There is no corn in here. So here's the recipe for Bruzilla. 4 pounds, 6 ounces of German Pilsner, which I'm probably use the Weyermann. 3 pounds, 8 ounces of two row. I don't remember what I use. I might have used the Viking malt because it was like there or whatever. I don't really remember. 1 pound, 2 ounces flaked rice.
Really?
Okay.
This is a rice beer and not a corn beer.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And then 4 ounces of table sugar.
Wow. You totally tricked me, man.
And then the hops are 0.4 ounce of Liberty at 8.2 alpha for 60 minutes. And then 1 ounce of Liberty for 1 minute at the boil. Fermented with the Omega Kolsch 2 yeast.
Mm. Oh.
So, Cooper was right. It was not lagered. It was fermented. Oh, God, what the fuck temperature was it? It was on the, I tried to keep it on the low end because I didn't want to pump out a whole lot of fruity esters or whatever. And I was going through it and I was like, what yeast do I even use for a cream ale? Who knows? A lot of people were like, oh, just WP001. I'm like, oh, I want to be a little more homebrewery than that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want something. And I forget where someone was like, yeah, Kolsch can do the same thing. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm trying to, Omega yeast Kolsch too. Okay, sure. Why not? Let's try it. Let's see.
I like that about it. I like that it doesn't have a lot of ester, and it shouldn't. It's not
right.
Like supposed to be an ester bomb.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think that yeast gave it enough of an interesting character where it's not that light Pilsner. This is just water, grain water. That's because that's not what I wanted either. Like I was specifically was trying to not do that. So is this a cream ale?
You might try it as a Kolsch even. It's, it's clean and interesting enough and rich enough, but there's just not.
If you got this at a bar, would you go, hey, this is a good cream ale. It's a decent cream ale. Or would you go, this is not a cream ale.
Aroma. Reading the aroma section. Medium, low to low malt notes. With a sweet corn-like aroma. That means it's not optional. You need to have, and characteristic ingredients. American six-row malt, combination of six-row and North American two-row, up to 20% maize in the mash, and up to 20% sugar in the boil.
Okay, so here's why I use rice, is because in this book, I don't know if you've heard about it, it's called Brewing Classic Styles. Okay, it's by a guy called... Jamal Zainai Chief and June Palmer. In his recipe in the cream ale, it says weed feed and mow. It's rice syrup. So I'm like, oh, okay. And this is what I used to like start off on. I'm like, okay, well, rice. Okay, interesting. So it could have corn or rice. But apparently, I don't know, man. He says, that being the case, the recipe is very similar to an American light lager and uses a fair amount of adjunct. Some brewers prefer to use a corn-based adjunct. In this case, I like rice, as it has a very clean flavor.
Right.
And then it goes on and gives the thing. So, like, I don't know. Yeah. That's why someone's online, like, I'm from the Midwest. This is not a cream ale, you asshole.
Well, So there's two different kinds of basic American lagers. There's the rice-based ones, and there's the corn-based ones primarily. And... or some of them may use a combination, but they use that to lighten up the body. And it, the rice is going to pull away more flavor where it's just fairly neutral and not maybe a little grainy. Whereas the corn adds the little edge, a little sweetness, a little corniness to it, maybe a little sulfur. I kept grasping for that corn, but it wasn't really there. But I can sense that. It's a clean beer. It's really enjoyable and quite drinkable.
I kind of like it. Like I really enjoyed the aroma of the mash with that rice in there. Yeah. And I was drinking the wort as, you know, sitting there as I was taking my, you know, gravity and waiting for the beer to cool down. Over. Yeah. And I'm like, so I was telling Taryn, I was like, I could literally drink this now the way it is. Uncarbonated, warm. I will drink it. It tasted so good. I've never had a wort taste this. I don't want to say dynamic, but it was just so satisfying to drink it. It was really good. So I recommend this beer, whatever the fuck it is. It's not a cream ale. What is it, light American lager, rice lager?
It's not a lager, though. It's
not a lager. You're right. I don't know why I keep saying that.
It's more like the hybrid style, like a Kolsch.
Hybrid. Okay. All right. Kolsch with rice and table sugar?
I don't know.
It was supposed to end up being a 1049, but it ended up measuring at 1054. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. That's probably why you're getting a little more body.
I could pick up a little alcohol. I could pick up a little body.
And that's why with this beer, I'm deciding to fill my my Brewzilla to 6.5 gallons pre-boil instead of just like, you know, eyeballing it or measuring it or whatever. I'm trying to get to that level because I think I had too little in the boil kettle. I know I didn't get straight 5 gallons out of this thing. So I'm trying to that thing I sort of forgot about, you know, working with your equipment is trying to, you know, you got to dial it in and figure it out. So I think 6.5 gallons right at the gallon mark. And the RoboBrew or the Brewzilla has the markings on it. So it makes it really easy to just add a little more water and there you go. That's what I didn't do with this. That's what I did do with the other one. And I was only 2 points off, so, or 3 points off. So this is a little bit more than that. It's 5 points.
I would say just adding the carbonation that's missing to this would bring it up to like, more like a 37.
Yeah, and at my house it is. So yeah,
lightening up the body, lightening up the everything a little bit.
Yeah,
consider using corn if you want to make a rice-based one, or do a blend of rice and corn. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, if the thing is corn, I'll use corn. I just didn't know that was the thing. I don't read the styles.
I'm just reading off the guidelines as I'm judging it, and it's like medium light corn. I'm like, where's the corn? It's nice, but. Where's that, you know, you expect it. There could be an argument out there. I mean, because it is, like you said, there's a couple different flavors of lagers. Cream ale is a reaction to an ale brewer's version of, of the light American popular lagers back, you know, and trying to compete with them and make something light and drinkable.
Yeah.
This is very nice, fairly light and thanks. Very drinkable.
Yeah.
So, it could really be easy to bring it up to a 40. If you brewed this again, and
I liked it. I think it was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
And on that Brazil, it's fucking easy as shit.
Cool.
It's fun.
You know, I drink this and I go back and forth between deciding if I taste corn or rice. It's weird for me. Seriously.
You said that. You said corn, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to get this motherfucker so good.
You got me good, man. But like sometimes I take a sip and it's rice. Sometimes take a sip and it's corn. And I don't know, maybe it's just did you cereal mash with these? Were they?
No, I used flakes.
Okay. Weird. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the guy at the Doe's meeting that tricked us with his wit beer that had no coriander in it.
That's right. All right. Let's take a quick break. It's our last break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about Hop Splash real fast. Because I've said it before, this thing has a ton of hops in it, and it's sort of weird for me. So anyway, hang on, it's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, thanks for sticking around. We're going to wrap it up here, but what I want to do is talk about the Sierra Nevada Hop Splash. It's not a paid thing. I felt like, well, number one, we need shit to talk about. But this is something definitely new. We talked about the Lagunitas Hoppy Refresher, which to me is my favorite. I've had a couple, I think I maybe have had one or two of these kind of hop water things. The Lagunitas one is the best product Lagunitas probably has ever made, except their Dogtown Pale Ale. So this is the Sierra Nevada version of the Hoppy Refresher, Hop Water. And I want to get your guys' take on it. And I'll tell you mine. I've told you mine before, but I'll reiterate it after this. But what do you guys think about this carbonated hop water? First impression. I mean, you smell it, and it's like Amarillo. It's like opening a bag of like Amarillo cryo hops. It's so, yeah. It's like the fret. It's like, it's, it, it, and it really is. If you've never done that, that's what this is. It's the, it is, it's
yeah.
the bag.
Very, very hoppy. Yeah.
It is extremely, yeah, extremely, it hits you in the face with the hop aroma.
Yeah.
It's very seltzery too. Like, so the background, the hop water has that little edge of like, impression of sweetness almost, or
it does.
That's
yes.
A little,
yes.
Like, does it have some actual sugars in there, or is it just an impression of it?
I think it's just an impression of it. Yeah, I don't actually know.
Little something. This is just like straight, like seltzer with
well,
hops.
Well, so looking at the ingredients, it's water, hops, and carbon dioxide. Whereas with the Hoppy Refresher, they have a yeast in there. They have brewer's yeast.
Right.
So I wonder if that's, excuse me, I've taken two sips of this and I'm overly gassy.
They don't put any like fruit or anything.
Very
like, there's
gassy.
No lemon or.
They do have flavored versions out there. I haven't tried yet.
Right.
But yeah, there's nothing. So I think, and that's what Jeremy, I remember eavesdropping on a conversation or hearing it from somewhere else, but it was like the presence of the yeast sort of does something different to the way that the hops are, you know, absorbed through the water. And so Sierra Nevada presumably doesn't. And so this is, I imagine, what you get when you just add, you know, I'm imagining cryo hops.
Hop water.
To water, yeah.
It's extremely lightly hazy, if you can maybe tell in the glass here. But like the Hoppy Refresher isn't. And this just doesn't come together for me. I mean, this is like, it's not bad, but it's a little, like the first sip, it's not that much different from a Hoppy Refresher. And then as it kind of goes on, it's a little harsh. And maybe it's the carbonation level, and maybe it's, and I hate to, you know, crap on Sierra Nevada, because so many of their products I just truly love, and I've just really loved over the many, many years. I just don't know. This doesn't seem like it's very harmonious. It's hops, and it's some very carbonated, seltzery water.
Which I love,
and
a good
I'm
seltzer
too.
Water. Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't come together for me.
And
well,
that's...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm not a seltzer guy so much. I drink regular water, or I drink beer or coffee or...
No.
I don't.
Yeah,
really
see, I'm upper middle class,
water.
So I like carbonated water.
Right.
I don't know.
It just makes you burp, and it's acidic, and the
it's
you know,
acidic.
Carbonic acid. It's,
yeah.
It's a... It has a flavor. It has this carbonic,
yeah.
You know,
for me, it's
flavor
it's
to it.
Like drinking a can of carbonated water. It's thirst quenching, in the way that a glass of water isn't. I don't know. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, these are aggressively hopped. Like, I mean, aggressively hopped.
I like that. I think that the hop aspect of it is better, you know, than the Lagunitas one, because those aren't hoppy enough. If you get a hop, you know, Hoppy Refresher, it's like, well, it's kind of hoppy. It's there, but this is, you know, very substantially hoppy. And I like that.
The way I compare the two is this is like bitterness. The Lagunitas version is flavor.
It's a little softer, and it has a more of a beer-like aspect to it almost with the yeasts.
Yeah.
That's there.
So. This is very green, very, it's like I'm eating cryo hop powder.
Right.
And it's sort of, it doesn't, so I think what you were saying, Charlie, it doesn't resonate with me. My wife loves it, but I just can't, cool. I don't know. I can't, it's, you know, as it sits in my mouth, it's sort of almost aspirin-y. It's almost too much.
Yeah.
You know, when I first time I had it, I texted with
Ken Grossman.
No. Yeah. With Ken. No, someone there.
Ken.
And I'm just debating whether or not to say anything. And, you know, I was like, oh yeah. And they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, eh. And they're like, yeah, that's sort of what I thought too. I'm like, okay, as long as it's not like, you know, if I say my opinion, I'm not shitting all over it. I don't feel bad. I have, you know, literally 10 of a 12 pack of pale ale in my fridge, so I don't really care too much.
What I think of, you know, a blend between this and the other approach would be interesting too, where you have a lot more hop along with that yeast derived aspect that gives it a little more perception of sweetness or a beer like character or a little edge or a little smoothness to it along with it. This has the sharpness of just a carbonic acid with a lot of hop. And that's nice in its own way. I can understand why your wife likes it. I'm a hop head. I like the aroma of this a lot better than the Lagunitas one. But in the flavor, it's just, it's seltzer with hop. It's seltzer with hop, and there's nothing else there.
Yeah.
I like the underlying aspect of the hoppy refresher. But I don't drink a lot of that. Well, this is my first time trying this one, but I probably wouldn't drink a lot of this or a lot of the hoppy refresher. It just, the nice thing about it is that they're all zero calories, and you can just drink it.
Yeah.
Like you're having a beverage that is flavored.
Well, that's why we started drinking them. And the hoppy refresher was in bottles, and they moved to cans, and they're not as carbonated. And I don't like them as much. But you can't find the bottles anymore. The bottles were like almost overcarbonated. They were so highly carbonated, and it worked really well with the, maybe with the sweetness, right? But in the cans, they're not. They're not as carbonated, and so it doesn't really work well. It's not as, it's not as, like, I haven't had one in like 4 months.
I think I would probably rather, you know, if I want hops, I'm just going to have an IPA or a pale ale or something like that. And I don't just need it with water. It's missing something. It's missing the malt, the complexity underneath it that balances the hops. It gives it something special. I'm just going to have a seltzer water. Give me something that's fruity or, you know, a berry or a lemon or lime or whatever. Something that has a little fruit flavor to it or something.
Fine. Yeah, I hear you.
Berry. I don't know. I don't drink a lot of seltzers, but I had some at a pool party the other weekend. It was like, oh, it's kind of nice. I
seltzers
needed
to hydrate. Are not bad, dude.
So I drank a lot of like the, I don't drink the alcoholic seltzers, but I drank like just a, you know, berry, whatever, or a raspberry something seltzer.
I can't do those.
Refreshing and good.
I can't do those. I don't like them. I like nothing. Like nothing. Yeah. So, and as this warms up, it gets worse. Like the greenness comes out. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk to somebody about how they make this. I think Moorbeer did a video with Lagunitas about how they make the hoppy refresher. So it'd be interesting to watch that, and or actually probably just get Vito on because Vito was the one there. And we can talk about doing that. And that is interesting concept, Cooper, to like blend the two designs, see what you get,
or blend this with a beer and see what you get. Like you could have a 2% IPA with a lot of hops.
Dude,
and,
this with with like one of the non-alcoholic, you know, like the Athletic Brewing Blonde Ale.
Yeah.
This is fucking,
it would hop it up.
Yeah, man. Why not? Water it down a little bit. Maybe the IPA.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to try it out. You know, if you're after like an aggressive hop bitterness, but non-alcoholic and in like your water, it's a great thing. Like I said, Taryn loves it. It doesn't work for me because I'm not really attracted to that, like that flavor, that concept or that sensation. But if you're in the market for something like that, something aggressively hopped, it's great. It's done well.
Bitterness.
Yeah.
The other question is the bitterness. Is it, do we have isomerized, you know, hop in here? Is it, it's not boiled. There's no,
well, I don't know. Maybe they boil the water, I would guess. You think?
I doubt it.
Hmm.
I don't know. But is it bitterness or is it just the hops that give you the impression of the bitterness? If you measured the IBUs in this, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. No, I measured them with my IBU measurer.
Well, I'm sure Sierra Nevada probably measured them.
Oh, my God. Of course. Are you kidding me? Of course, man. They probably worked on this for 12 years.
Their lab and did everything to it. It'd be interesting to know what the IBUs are. It doesn't come across excessively bitter. Like it bites your tongue. Harsh.
For me, it does, man. Absolutely. On the sides, I can't. Yeah. All it's right. I can't, like, I won't finish this. I can't do it. It's too much for me. So back to this South Tahoe, South Lake Brewing beer. God, Bill.
Blend them.
Sorry, Bill. I keep butchering the name of your brewery you work at. Anyway, we're done. We're out of here. We're gone.
Well, if someone wants to send us beer, they can send us beer. And then, you know, to do that, they would have to contact us. And to contact us, they would probably want to email Brian with an I at thebrewingnetwork.com and say, hey, I've got a beer. Will you take it? And we'll say, yes, absolutely. and then I'll send them a bunch of information that's way too long, full of flowery language and
absolutely
all the details and JP's address and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, send us your best pale ale or Mexican lager or what have you.
Or hop water.
Hop water, yeah. We did a hop water thing at our club a couple meetings ago. It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, there was some variation just because different people did them a little bit different way. We all had the same recipe, but someone felt theirs was way too hoppy, so they watered it down. It's like, oh, that's a nice hop character, but it's watery.
did you blend them all together, Brian?
And of course he did.
Hop water blend.
As a part of the exercise, we did actually blend it. Everybody was assigned a hop, and so the intention was to see what hops go together out of the ones that were brought in. And
that's
and
fun.
What works and make little blends. So I was happy. It was fun.
You got to scratch that itch. All right, everyone. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you.